getting settled for the word, I just want to make a couple of comments just as pastor, as we are preparing to hear the word of God this morning. And there is something that as after and even during Reverend Tom and Irena Lilienthal's ministry to the church last week, I just really feel like God is doing something. The word came to me, a deep work, that there is something that is very, very deep and spiritual going on in lives and families in this church. And if you pray for this church, if you're part of somebody who just you love to pray, you love to pray for churches, you love to pray for this church, I just want you to pray in that direction. Because I really believe that God truly is doing something that is so exciting. It's exciting to see that what we are speaking, what we are believing, is occurring. Because we have prayed, we have sought God, we have spoken over these chairs. They are full of families, full of new faces, full of new friends. And God is starting to bring them in. And we're seeing it. Amen? We are seeing it. And we're going to see it. We're seeing it right now. We're seeing answers to prayer. And God is doing a deep work in this church. And we rejoice. So don't unhook. All right? Don't unhook. Stay hooked up in that. And as we prepare for the Sink Your Vision retreat, I can't tell you everything that's in my heart yet on what's going to happen that day. That particular day, I believe, will be a marker. As I was, I had a chance this week to go and take a long drive over to see my oldest daughter in Pennsylvania. And during that time, I love long drives because I can pray. I can pray. I can listen to things to fill me back up. And it was just really good because as I was praying, I was getting more and more excited about this retreat. More excited. I mean, if you haven't gotten the time off work, if you have to work, you need to figure out how to get there. If you don't know where to come up with the $25, you need to figure out, or at least let us know. Listen, I'm having a trouble getting the $25. I feel like God wants me there because it is going to change, I believe, the trajectory of this church in such a dramatic way. Because it's not, and hear me, church, this is not all about WFC. This is about God getting a hold of you. This is receiving vision for your life, your family, the things you've believed God for, you've prayed about, and your church. Because that's a natural outflow. When God can get you to see something and you are walking in that belief, let me tell you, that is transformation. And so I really, as pastor, I can't tell you everything, but I can tell you that day, for every age bracket, multi-generational, is going to be, fun, exciting, and you have probably never been to anything like this. So if you think it's going to be just a bunch of people sitting in a building and just talking to you, it's not going to be that. Say it's not going to be that. I believe you're going to experience God in such an amazing way. I'm so excited about this day. It has been in my heart for months, and I'm going to stop talking about it now. I want you really to think about it, make it a priority. Whatever you have to do, try to be there. It's going to be life-changing, all right? So this morning, the subject that the Lord, I was going to talk about something totally different. I had a message totally in one direction. And as I was driving back from Pennsylvania and praying and listening to worship music and things, I felt like God just kind of redirected a little bit. And so it is something that I have been meditating on, but I thought it was for another time. But he said, no, now's the time. I said, okay. So today I want to talk to you about the subject of transformation. Transformation. And I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. Then we're going to go to the Father in prayer. Amen. All right, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that it has the power to change us, the power to rearrange us, to cause us to think differently, act differently, speak differently, to literally transform our lives. And Father, today, Lord, we approach your word with reverence. We thank you, Father, for sending the Holy Spirit to change us, to teach us, to cause this word to come into our heart and affect lasting change, so that we wouldn't just be hearers only, but God, that we would act on this word and it would change our lives. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Colossians chapter 1. Chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to go ahead and pick up in verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1. And it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding." Verse 10, "that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." Listen to verse 13. "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." Praise God forevermore. I want you to look at verse 13 specifically. It says, "For he's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us." That word "conveyed" also can be "transformed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." So he literally has transformed us from darkness into light, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And when I think about that, I think every single one of us who have called Jesus our Lord at some point in our life, that happened to us. There was a transformation. And for some of us, it was a gradual transformation. It started with a decision to follow Christ. That's how it did with me. You've heard my testimony. I'm going to ask somebody who's relatively new to our church, "Brother Jim, I'd like to ask you to come on up right now, sir." He knew I was going to do this, by the way. Amen. And if you haven't had a chance to meet Brother Jim, amen, he is a blessing. Amen. He's a blessing. Amen. Amen. And fun story, about 2 months ago, you know, we've been praying, "God, send people. And somehow he found us with his son's help. And he had just moved here from South Carolina. He'd lived in New York many years, but had moved away. And his son drove him over here after church one Sunday. And somebody interrupted me. We were in the middle of, I think, ukulele practice. And they said, "Pastor, there's somebody in the foyer wants to talk to you." Mm-hmm. And I went out, introduced myself, and he said, "Do you believe the Bible here?" Amen. And I thought, okay, I like that. That's really good. Yes, yes, we do. Yes. And then he said, "What time service next week?" Amen. And I told him, and he said, "I'll be there." Amen. And he's been. So tell us, what happened when you received Christ, and how did that happen?
Well, the church that I used to go to down in South Carolina, we had a cell group thing going. When I first moved to Rock Hill, I didn't have any furniture much. And on a Saturday afternoon, my first day in the apartment, I only had a bed. The phone rang, and a friend of mine called from Columbia, South Carolina, and said, there's a woman named Joy Adams. I knew her husband, not her. And she's going to be calling you later today about some furniture she has for you. And so about 2 hours later, she calls up and tells me that, yeah, I have furniture, but we'll talk about it, but you got to meet me at my church. And I hadn't been in church in years, you know. Wow. So I met her at her church. Well, to start with, I was driving to the church, and it was getting late, and I couldn't find it. I wasn't familiar with that part of the town. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving down, and I reached a point where it was getting late, and I'm thinking, let me just pull over and call her and maybe have her meet me at Starbucks after the service, where I usually went on Sunday morning. And so about that time, I came around a curb. There was the church. Wow. So I went into the church and sat down, and service had started, singing had begun, that kind of thing. And then this woman come over and tapped me and asked me, my name was Tommy Farrell. I said, yes. So the service was good. I enjoyed it. So then I started going to the church. And about a few weeks later, I was in the cell group, a group of people, meet at different houses and this kind of thing. So that particular Wednesday, we were knocking on doors to invite people to come to Vacation Bible School. So when it was over, we're standing in front of the church, and I started asking questions, a lot of questions about the Bible. So then this woman, Joy Adams, came over to me and said, Tommy, why don't you follow me to my house, and I'll fix you a hamburger for dinner. I never got that, by the way. She said, instead of going inside the house, let's go sit in the backyard. So we go sit in the backyard, and she starts telling me about her life and this kind of thing. And I start telling her about mine, and then she said, let's pray. So then I prayed and asked God to forgive me of my sins and give me everlasting life. So that's how it got going. And a few months later at the church, the preacher wanted to baptize me. So I gave a large emotional confession. And so me and the person who was baptizing was standing in the water. And I said, well, let's go ahead and let's do it, So he wasn't doing anything, so I just put my head underwater. So the preacher said later that I baptized myself. He said, man, I don't mind that as long as you were underwater. But that baptizing was the happiest day of my life.
Amen. Praise God.
Brother Jim, yes, we rejoice. Yeah, amen. Amen. I got a question for you. Usually I don't ask folks how long ago this happened and how old you are, but you've told me, so I feel like it's okay to ask. All right, so tell me how old were you when this happened?
Well, when this occurred, I was 71 years old, and it was also I'm ashamed to say that was when I owned my first Bible. I'd never owned one before. And I'm a big reader, and I read a lot of fiction books a lot and this kind of thing. But since that time, I've read nothing but the Bible.
Amen. And that happened just because people loved you enough to reach out to you, and God transformed your life.
Yeah, well, God was blessing me for years, and I just thought it was luck,
Right,
but
right,
then
right,
I found out later it was blessing.
Awesome.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you so much for sharing that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's power of the transformation. That is going from darkness to light. 71 years. You know, there are many people that we know that maybe in our family, maybe in our complex, they might be people that we work with. They need somebody to show them the love of Christ like those folks did for Brother Jim. It's transforming. It's transforming. And God is wanting to bring that transformation to each one of us, even if we've walked with God for a long time. So maybe you've known Christ for many, many years. Maybe you've known Christ for 40 years. Maybe you've known Christ for 50 years, 30 years, 10 years. But there is something about that story, what you felt like when Christ came into your life. What was that like? Now, some people don't have feelings. Everybody has a journey in this life of transformation. For some, it is super instantaneous in that they feel, they sense, they know. And for some, it's a gradual process of them learning to walk with Christ. And really, for all of us, there is a growth process, isn't there? There's a growth process. So even if you were raised in church, there's a growth process. And I want to encourage you that when we know God, when we get to know God, not religion, right. Not religion, but when we actually meet Him, when we meet the risen Christ, it changes our life. It changes our destiny. We truly are transformed. We're transformed. And I'll never forget in these last several months of some of the time after church, and I'll be fellowshipping with Brother Jim, and you start talking about that moment, and he gets emotional. And I'm okay with that. And, one of my mentors is Pastor Sam Smucker, and he will tell you, I'm a crybaby. I'm one of them too. It's because it's something deep inside that says, Christ changed my life. And church, our role is for us to, number one, know Him like we've never known Him before. My prayer for our church recently and in setting up, getting us ready for this vision retreat is, God, that we would see You. We would see You like we've never seen You before. We would know You like we've never known You before. That You would show us some part of Yourself that we've not yet experienced, or a God is so vast, He's so big, He's so grand, and He wants us to know Him. To know Him. Hallelujah. Well, somebody's calling. Praise God. Praise God. He's calling us. God's calling us. Amen. God's calling us. Amen. Well, praise God. I want you to notice where it says there in verse 13, He's delivered us. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Praise God. Praise God. So this last couple of days, I had a chance to go and visit Sarah, as I told you, our oldest daughter, and she is a part of the Sight and Sound Ministry Theater Group that's there in Lancaster, PA, and I had the opportunity to go see the story of Moses. Now, I had been thinking a lot about Moses' transformation, and I have a little slide up here. There's some lessons that we can learn from Moses' life, some lessons that we can learn. Now, if you're interested in actually looking at the story of Moses. You like the character that's Abby did that.
Aww.
Yeah, that's her artwork. Moses, there are some lessons that we can learn to go a little bit deeper with God, to see God a little bit more, to see Him in a different light, to really go deeper with him. That's a choice that each one of us have, is to go a little bit deeper with him, to go a little bit farther, to experience him in a different, greater way, in a greater way. Because if you're just content with, well, you know, I go to church. If you're content with, well, I received Christ. No, there's something greater that God wants to reveal himself to you. So in the life of Moses, which you can read about it in the book of Exodus, if you're not familiar in the Word of God, you can find the high points of Moses' life in the book of Exodus. So it tells the story of his life, and it is a powerful story of redemption. It's a powerful story that you and I can identify with. And you say, well, how is that? The burning bush didn't come to me. You know, how many know that? The burning bush, right? Anybody here seen a burning bush anywhere? So you guys haven't seen a burning bush, but if you notice in the life of Moses, in Exodus, it tells us how Israel was suffering in chapter 1. It tells us how Moses comes on the scene because there is great suffering going on. Israel had been enslaved for 430 years. And they had been enslaved by Egypt because Egypt was afraid of them. And isn't that what sometimes in cultures, racism and hatred, isn't that what that is? It's fear. And that's exactly what motivated Egypt into enslaving God's people. And so at one point, remember, Joseph was a ruler over Egypt. But because they multiplied and expanded after Joseph's death, we see that they've been in Egypt for 400 years. Not in the best place where God wants them. God wants them in the land that flowed with milk and honey. He wanted them in the promised land. But one of the things that we see is that in chapter 2, we see the beginning of Moses' life. He is born. He is born to Levites, to a husband and wife, Levites. And at that time, Pharaoh was so afraid that he's killing off all the firstborn male children of the Hebrews. And so he makes this order that they all be thrown into the river and that they be drowned. Can you imagine what kind of sorrow was going on in that time? What kind of despicable, horrible hatred? And, you know, sometimes when we look at our world today and we see some of the junk that happens in our world, we get upset and we say, oh, how could God let that happen? I want you to know something. Jesus and the Apostle Paul echo these thoughts that Satan is the god of this world. He blinds the minds of them who have not believed, lest they come to understanding and see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. So we as the church, we are to know God like we've never known him before. And so Moses gets rescued, if you will. His mother goes out on a limb and she puts him into the water. But this time he's not just thrown into the water to drown. He is put in an ark of safety, kind of reminiscent of Noah's ark. He's put in a small basket that's waterproof, and then he is found by the Egyptian princess. And the favor of God is on Moses at this point, because she decides to keep Moses. She names him Moses, which means to be drawn out of the water. She declares herself to be his mother, and yet she tells his real mother, who is nursing him, because remember, his sister, who plays an amazing role all the way through the book of Exodus, Miriam is part of that. Aaron, his brother, is part of the story. And we see that Miriam is part of God's salvation plan here, part of the plan to bring Israel out of Egypt. And what we see that is just so powerful is that Moses then begins to grow. He grows up in Pharaoh's court. He learns the ways of the world, but all along there is a connection to God. There is a connection to God that is, I believe, just so supernatural. There's a connection. He's been called to be a deliverer. He's been called to be a deliverer. Because God knows us even in our mother's womb. He knows the gifts that are inside of you. And even when you've made mistakes, even when your life has been messed up, the Bible tells us that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, meaning God does not change his mind. We might have made some bad choices, but God doesn't change his mind when it comes to the gifts and his callings. And so Moses, he then realizes what's going on. He's been raised in that worldly environment. And at one point, he sees his brothers, he sees his family members suffering under that bondage, suffering under that slavery, suffering under that horrible oppression. And he says, I got to do something about this. But this time he does it in his own strength. He sees an Egyptian mistreating one of his brothers. And Moses has a temper problem. Has anybody in here ever had a temper problem? Yeah. Moses had a problem with his temper. And so apparently it got the best of him. And he decides to be an avenger on his own. Not under God's direction, and he takes the life. He thinks nobody's watching. And then the Bible tells us that he buries the Egyptian, hoping nobody would see. And then, not too long later, he sees two Hebrews arguing with each other. And he starts to try to be a peacemaker. Why are you doing that to your brother? And they said, what are you going to do, kill us like you killed the Egyptian? So apparently somebody was watching. He thought nobody was. But see, know this, that even in your mistakes that you make, even in your giving into your flesh, somebody's watching. God's watching. And he wants to bring you out of that, not to bring you under condemnation for it, but to bring you out of that bondage, to bring you out. And as a result, Moses flees for his life. He goes to the backside for 40 years. Say 40 years. 40 years. Now, apparently Moses is about 40 years old when he kills the Egyptian. So he's grown up for 40 years, learning the ways of the world. Now at 80, God appears to him on the backside of the desert through the burning bush. And now he's getting to know God like nothing else. He's learning. He's learning about God. And God reveals himself to Moses and says, you need to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. He's like, I don't think so, God. I don't know if you got the right guy. I don't know if you got the right guy. You see, he's still getting to know God in that moment. And even in his resistance, and you see this all through the word here in Exodus chapter 4, he says, they might not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him in chapter 4, verse 2, what is that that's in your hand? He said, a rod. In other words, and he said, cast it to the ground. Cast it to the ground, and it became a serpent. Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand, take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand, caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And verse 5, that he says this, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, and of the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, put your hand in the bosom again. So he put his hand in the bosom again, drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe you, even these two signs, or listen to your voice. Then you shall take the water from the river and pour it out on dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. He begins to tell Moses what he's going to do. When you get to know God, God will start to talk to you about things. Now, he doesn't talk to you always like you and I, and you may not hear an audible voice. If you do, that means there must be something big ahead of you. Most of the time, God speaks to us in those pictures, in those still small voice, in that quietness, that impression, that picture that you see on the inside. And as we get to know God, we see in Moses' life that he gets to know God. When he gets to know God, he then steps out into some amazing things. He starts to understand himself a little better. God begins to bring and give him the answers that he needs. Aaron talks better than he does. So God says to him, okay, then you have Aaron. You have no more excuses. You have Aaron. And he talks really, really good. So you got Aaron. In fact, he's on his way to meet you. Aren't you glad that even when God gets exasperated with us, and if you read the passage, he's getting a little exasperated with Moses. He is, because Moses is giving him excuses. Have you ever given God an excuse? When you've gotten to know him a little better and he starts to tell you things that you need to change, things that you need to get rid of, things that you need to leave behind, because listen, as a New Testament believer, as a believer, a child of God, you've been transformed. You've been transformed from the kingdom of darkness. Why would you participate and act like darkness? Why would you do the things that people who don't know Christ, why would you do those same things? No, God's calling us to a higher state. And so Moses gets his thinking changed a bit. And eventually he goes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh doesn't listen to him the first time. We know after 10 plagues, Pharaoh doesn't really listen to him. But I want you to know that during that time, that is a learning time for Moses. Moses is learning a lot about himself and a lot about God. When you understand and discover your purpose, you see, Moses felt that he was a deliverer. That's why he killed the Egyptian. He felt like, I'm going to be a deliverer. He did it in his own strength. There are some things that we try to do in our own strength, and it does not pan out. There are some things you might try to break a habit in your life. In your own strength, you won't be able to do it because your flesh is strong. But when you understand what God has put on the inside of you and he's called you to a higher place, I can remember as a teenager, I could curse the wallpaper off of a wall. That's an exaggeration. But in my family, when people cursed, they used to say, you curse like a drunken Bahamian sailor. Well, my family didn't know I cursed because I was pretty sly about it. My family didn't know. My friends at school knew. But that was one thing that God just got a hold of my life. He got a hold of my life. And that was almost an immediate experience where I was delivered from that. I was set free from that because I realized I didn't need to look like the world. I needed to reach the world. And so my speech changed. You see, when God transforms you, he changes every part of you. Now, maybe that's an area of your life that still is a work in progress. Let it be a work in progress. There's no condemnation, but give God something to work with. And it could be anger. Notice Moses obviously had a temper problem. Temper. He had a temper problem. We see it even after God uses him to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. He doesn't do exactly what God tells him to do. Instead, he's so frustrated. He's so frustrated with the people that he strikes the rock instead of speaking to the rock. God wants us to know ourselves, know what gifts are inside, know who he's put around us to get us to the assignments that he's called us to. You see, when you discover your purpose, and I believe Moses actually knew deep down inside what his purpose was. He knew what his purpose was, and he tried to do it on his own, and that didn't work. But then when he started doing it God's way, he was fearful. He was frightened. When you start doing things God's way, it's a little scary. It's a little scary to step out by faith. It's a little scary when you don't know what's going to be on the other side. You don't know what's going to happen. But God calls you and me to step out in faith into our purpose. You see, every one of us has a divine assignment. We've been praying for that for months. That came out in prayer during our Fresh Oil prayer time, that God is calling our church to specific assignments. And those specific assignments will be revealed as we know Him better. As we know Him better, you'll discover, first of all, freedom. Freedom from habits, freedom from things that have stopped you from. It could be simple things, like even, it could be learning issues. It could be language issues. It could be confidence issues. It could be anger issues. It could be self-image issues. It could be rejection issues. It could be mental health issues. It could be addiction issues. It could be a myriad of things. But God wants you to come through those and to be free. Remember, Jesus said this. He said, "The truth will make you free." You see, when we understand who God is, that he's love, he loves us that much. That love will lead us to absolute awesome relationship with him. And when he opens his truth to us, it will set us free. It will set us free. It doesn't matter what thing you're struggling with. It doesn't matter whether it's you got a short temper, whether it's you got an issue with this, that, or the other. There, every human being has some kind of carnal issue somewhere. Yeah, none of us have arrived, right? But the Bible tells us that we can leave those things behind and lay aside the sin that so easily besets us and discover freedom in Christ. You see, the prison door is open. Don't keep crawling back in the prison. Don't keep crawling back into the prison because it's comfortable. I'm reminded of the Andy Griffith show. I've talked about this many times in sermon illustrations. You know, the town drunk, Otis, he got to the point where he would just get drunk and he knew he was going to get arrested. He would walk into the police station, grab the keys off of the rack, unlock the prison door, walk in it, lock it back, and throw the keys out. Some of us do that with habits, with things that bind us, with things that hold us back from truly being free. When we know God, we start to understand our purpose and that freedom results in that then we can start walking in that purpose. And when we walk in that purpose, church, we make a difference. Moses made a difference. You say, "I don't know if I could ever be a Moses." God's not calling you or me to be Moses. He already was. He's been here, did his assignment, and left. He's cheering us on now. But there are assignments for you. There are assignments for me. We've got to get to know him. Go deeper. Go deeper. Don't be satisfied. Go deeper. Discover freedom that comes from knowing him. Go deeper. Know him. God, open the eyes of our heart. That's a song that you can sing. I find myself singing that all the time. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Why? Because I want to know him deeper. Would you want to know him deeper? Deeper than you have ever known him before? You see, there's so much of God, you can't know all of him right now. He wants to reveal more of his heart, more of his plan, more of his freedom, more of his purpose in your life. And when you make a difference, you will be fulfilled like never before. Like never before. It said at the end of Moses' life that, and first of all, when he stood before Pharaoh, he was 80 years old. It took him 80 years to step in to the role and the assignment that God gave him. It took him 80 years of learning that. Now, he lived to be about 120, Scripture tells us. And so he lives to be about 120. And He still doesn't fully see the promised land, but I got to tell you something. He fulfilled the assignment that God gave him to bring his people out of Egypt, and don't forget Joseph's bones. God still remembers the little things. And so your assignment may be very specific, and it may not be as grandiose as pulling out an entire nation that's under bondage. But what your assignment is still vital. And if you will know him better, and you will find that freedom, you will discover the purpose that God made for you, that assignment, and you will make a difference, and that difference will touch people's lives. Brother Jim had somebody reach out to him. It made a difference. And that's what God calls you and me to do. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you, Father God, that you desire for transformation to come to our lives. Transformation. And that transformation power, that power that you take us from darkness to light, you transform us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, takes time. Takes patience on your part. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you, Father God, that your word tells us it is the goodness and the kindness of God that causes us to repent, to change our mind, to ask for forgiveness, and to move on with his help. The grace of God, Father, I thank you. It is the grace that you give us. That grace, that power that we can't do it ourselves, but you empower us to walk like never before. So, Father, help us to know you better, experience your freedom, to find our purpose, and to make a difference in those around us, in Jesus' name. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. I have spoken primarily to believers today. But if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to know him. It's the first step to knowing God is to believe in your heart that Jesus is who he said he is, that he died for your sins, that he was raised from the dead for you. And if you'll make him the Lord of your life, he'll meet you right where you're at. So right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you want to receive Christ, or you're watching online, I want you just to, we're going to pray together. Even if you've prayed that prayer before, not because we think you need to keep praying it over and over, but because we desire that if anybody happens to be around, that they would feel comfortable in praying that too and meaning it in their heart, so that every time we have service, there's an opportunity to receive Christ. So let's pray together. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead so that I might be free from sin, and that I might have life eternal. And Father, I make Jesus Lord of my life from this day on, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed it as an act of rededication in your life, I believe God met you right where you're at to help you in your walk, to help you know him better, to find freedom, to find that purpose, and to make a difference. God is moving in your life because of it. We'd like to know about it. Please let us know. I'll be available to pray with anybody after church, and give us a chance to actually make a transition to our ukulele band practice. Don't forget, we've got the vision retreat coming up. You do not want to miss it. Let's stand to our feet as we have our sending out verse right now. Amen. Praise God. Let's say it out loud together. Hallelujah. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you.